Today's Sunday. I mean, with all these holidays and all these days off, it's hard to keep track of what day it is, right? We had 4th of July there on Thursday, and today is Sunday. We did end up in Sunday school exploring this doctrine that is near and dear to me, and it's something that's been a part of our ancient history and also a part of our recent history and application, particularly here in Rensselaer County, where we have a lesser magistrate, a county clerk in Rensselaer, who is defying the governor's rule about issuing driver's licenses to illegals, and so his name is Frank Marola, and so we looked at that and some other issues, and those are all good things. People who stand in the gap, who interpose on behalf of those who he serves in his jurisdiction or her jurisdiction, against those decrees that come down from above. So interposition and standing in the gap. And I guess I want to begin, we've talked about, or we've all experienced here this 4th of July and celebrated it. The same idea was found in our founding fathers. They had a king in England, and they were governors, and they were county representatives, and representatives of the colonies here, and they stood in the gap. And they were actually implementing this idea of the lesser magistrates as a part of our country coming into being. But most of them, if not most of them, were relatively unknown to us. We probably can't name too many of those 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. 56 of them signed it. And most of us, we might have heard of or have some recognition about John Hancock, right? He had a big signature. I mean, his name has become synonymous with signature, John Hancock. And so even today, if you were to perhaps go somewhere and somebody wants your signature on a document, they will say, put your John Hancock right here, because he's synonymous with a signature. So, yeah, okay, we would recognize John Hancock. And, of course, we probably would recognize a guy named Jefferson, right? He had something to do with it. We say, okay, Jefferson was a signer. And then there was the scientist there with the key, and Franklin, Ben Franklin. We might remember him, right? He was there. And perhaps we would remember that, you know, John Adams was there. He ended up becoming our second president here in the United States. And of course, I mean, none of us would ever forget Sam Adams, right? How can you forget Sam Adams, right? I mean, when we think of Sam Adams, what do we think? We think of tea, of course. Always a good choice. Because he was the mastermind of the Boston Tea Party, right? That's how you know Sam Adams. He was the mastermind, and he participated in that tremendous act of rebellion at the Boston Tea Party. He was the mastermind of that. So I'm asking rhetorically here, do you know any others? 56 of them. I've given you 5 of them that, most people might recognize them. But do we know any others? And what I submit to you is that most of the others are no names to us. Complete no names. And today what we're going to do is we're not going to look in our secular history books, but in the Bible history, and we're going to look at some known names biblically. And we're going to look at them not because known names are remembered, right? With our declaration, we just don't remember those names. But the known names we're going to look at today is not because they are not remembered, but because known names are even recorded. We can go back to the Declaration of Independence and we can find those other 51 names. But the folks we're going to talk about here today, the names are not only not remembered, they were never known. They weren't recorded. We can't go back and find them. And we won't find them on earth. But we will find them someplace else. And so the title of our sermon is No Names Among the Israel of God. No Names Among the Israel of God. How will we know about that? Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Rather rejoice Because your names are written in heaven. We'll find out about that. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. And Father, we thank you for those known, well known, and those who are unknown, who have been a part of the heritage that we enjoy nationally and particularly here today spiritually. Father, there's a whole raft of folks in your Bible whose names are not recorded for us, but they're recorded in your books. Father, we pray that you would encourage us, whether our names are big names, no names, Lord, whether they are whether we have great notoriety or not, that we would be your servants. Father, whether we have names that everybody knows or names that nobody knows, help us to live and to work for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in this passage, we do not know the name of a single individual in this army that Jesus sends out. He sends them out two by two. A little bit of some translation issues about, you know, the text and all that. Was there 70 of them? Was there 72 of them? We don't know the name of any one of them. Not a single one of them. And yet they go out. And they do their duty. And they complete their task. And then they return. But you know what? Then they disappear completely. Never heard from again. Never mentioned again in all of Scripture. And yet they have a certain notoriety by way of their anonymity. Nobody knows anyone's particular name, but they are called the 70. Reminds me of another group. There's only one team in the history of professional football that went undefeated. Only one. One team in professional football history went undefeated. Undefeated all through the season. Undefeated all through the playoffs. Undefeated and even winning the Super Bowl. Yep, you were right. The 1972 Miami Dolphins. They had some stars. They had some marquee players. Their offense and those individuals on that offense, they were the talk of the town. Superstars. Everybody knew their names. And yet most people who are familiar with football believe that the greatest key to their success was their no-name defense. A little phrase that was coined by a competing coach named Tom Landry. He looked at those Dolphins, and those Dolphins had all those high-profile, marquee people on offense, but he said, you know, the real reason why this team is so good is they have this no-name defense. And they go down in history as the no-name defense. Their only notoriety was by way of anonymity. Nobody knew who they were. And that was the key to their success. Here in Luke in chapter 10, verse 1, we read about the 70. There are 70 here. 70 nameless people. But because there are 70, or even if there were 72, they are symbolic people. And symbolically nameless. And they receive their calling. And their calling is as true today as it was yesterday. If you look at verses 2 and 3, I hope you can see yourself here a little bit. The harvest is great. Laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his heart. Go your ways. I'm sending you out there as lambs among wolves. Same sort of setting that we live in. And their mission was to proclaim the gospel of peace. In verses 5 and 6, you see an emphasis there. On peace. In whatever house you go into, pray for peace upon it. If they receive you, well. If not, your peace will return to you. You know, as we look at verses 9 through 11, whether you are received or you are rejected. And I would challenge us today to be like these 70.
whether we're well known or not, to go out and to proclaim peace, and whether they receive you or whether they reject you. Announce to them that the kingdom has come near, because that's what we read here. You heal someone and it goes well, rejoice. Announce to that person that the kingdom has come near. You go somewhere else where they, you know, spit at you. You shake the dust off your feet, but you still announce that the kingdom has come near. But it's not about us. It's about the king, and it's about his kingdom. And it's all about him. That's what we're reading about him, when we look at verse 16 of this passage. He that hears you hears me. And he that despises you despises me. Jesus is speaking. Red letters if you have that sort of edition. He that despises me, Jesus speaking, despises him that sent me. You know, as I think about this verse, I think about how making his name great is what we're supposed to be all about. If ever there was a single verse depicting the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, this is it. Think about this in this multicultural land we live in, where people can talk about God willy-nilly all over the place. What are we reading here? We're reading here that it is impossible to reject Jesus Christ and honor God. Imagine that. It's impossible to reject Christ and honor God. Therefore, it's impossible to be honoring God as we're rejecting Jesus Christ. And we have a world that believes that they can honor God all the day long and despise Jesus Christ. But that's not what Jesus says. He that hears you hears me, and he that despises you despises me. And you know what? If someone is going to despise Christ, they are despising God Almighty. It's all about him. The devil knows this. Verse 17. The devil knows about the power of his name. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even those devils are subject to us through your name. They know all about it. And so whatever else befalls us in this life of going out, and we're called to go out and to announce the kingdom and to announce peace, and to be rejected or to be received, to still announce the kingdom. And whether we have victory or defeat in those endeavors, our greatest prize is what awaits us. Look at verses 18 through 20. Jesus says this, I beheld Satan as lightning fall. You know, you talk about, how many people saw some fireworks here this past weekend, right? Right. Look at this. You think you've got power? You think you've had victory here in some of your witnessing? Jesus says this, they were happy, right? They were rejoicing because the devils were responding in his name. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall from heaven. And he says, I give you power. You're going to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. No matter what kind of victories you might have, and by the way, no matter what kind of defeats you may have in this, nevertheless, or notwithstanding, in this do not rejoice, that even the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's our reward. Whatever befalls us in life, whether we're victorious in this or defeated in this, our greatest prize is what awaits. And our notoriety will be known there and then. Our names are written in heaven. The 70 had no marquee on earth. Eternity will reveal who the no names are, the no names of the Israel of God. The Bible is actually full of no names. There's a really a long list of them, but they don't have names. We saw one a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the man who was in Decapolis, and he was known by a name because Jesus says, what is your name? But Jesus was speaking to the devil, and he said, my name is Legion because we are many, but we don't know what his real name was. He's a no name. And he goes back, or he actually stays. He wanted to follow Jesus. He stays there in that Gentile world, and he preaches to the people even in his own town, but we don't know his name. He's a no-name. The Bible's full of them. But we're going to stay limited to our lectionary today. And there are at least two no-names, even in our Old Testament lesson. There's at least two no-names who are every bit as important, perhaps even more so, as the main characters. In our first lesson, we had these main characters. I mean, there was Naaman, right? Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. And he was a leper, and so he's this dynamic person. His name is kind of in light. And then there's Elisha. He's the man of God. He's the prophet of God. He's in the story. So, okay, we have those marquee guys. But have we noticed that, you know what? What happens in this story doesn't happen without the no-names. They're every bit as important. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. The Syrians had gone out by companies, and along the way here, kind of happenstance, they brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, a little girl.
You know, a little girl being the most important person in this story. Clara. And the most important person in this story. Right?
She waited on Naaman's wife. We don't know Naaman's wife's name. That's another story. And she said unto her mistress, would to God my Lord were with the prophet, speaking about Elisha, he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. We didn't find out the name. She started the whole thing. This great miraculous story here came about because of a role that she played. Talk about not exactly a lesser magistrate, but every single person is so important. There's a second person here, 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 10, where, you know, one of the reasons perhaps why Naaman was kind of bent out of shape was because Elisha didn't come out. In verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger to him. And part of the response from Naaman was, I thought for sure he would come out and call upon the name of his God. But no, he sent a messenger. But I didn't even really want to go there with that guy. He's there. He's important for sure. The delivery boy, the messenger, as we all are. But who I really don't want us to miss is what we find in 2 Kings 5 and 13. After Naaman blows a gasket here, how come Elijah himself didn't come out and ask me to do some great thing? His servants, more no names, they come near and they speak to him and they say, look, Father, look, Naaman here. If the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would not you have done it? How much more rather than did he said unto you, wash and be clean? He escalates. He brings back some sense to this. These servants come and they rescue the whole thing. The whole thing was started by a little girl whose name we don't know. The whole thing is rescued by these servants whose names we don't know. The unfolding of history has so much to do with no names. I want us to know that today. The unfolding of all of history has so much to do with people whose names we do not know. It's true then, and it's true today. It's true in secular history, it's true in biblical history. It's true in church history, it's true for the church today. And so can we pause here on this Independence weekend, if we can call it that, and say, what will I do? Will I be faithful in these little things? Will I be a faithful messenger boy? Will I be a faithful little maid who reminds this person who's hurting that, you know what? There's a great man of God. There's a great prophet who can heal him of his leprosy? Will I speak peace and reasonableness to those who were expecting too much? What will I do? What will you do? You know, this is just kind of a tangent thing here. And I asked my son Andrew to help me out with this. But 20 years ago, I remember George Will, and he wrote this article about the movie Patriot. And that came out, and this article was written on July the 2nd, 2000, in the Troy Record, which I don't even know if it still exists anymore. But George Will wrote this article about the Patriot. And he kind of winds down this article, and he talks about the fact that the entire nation, the fate of the nation, the fate of the whole continent really rested in the hands of just a handful of people who were exercising their own free choices. And it wasn't so much about the bigwigs. What will you do? What will I do? You know, I could go on to say that our New Testament lesson has the same no-name emphasis to it. You know, it's not Hebrews 11, as we come to Galatians in chapter 6. It's not a faith hall of fame there. Yeah, there are those kind of people there in the Bible. But there are others. The only person named in Galatians chapter 6 is the Lord Jesus Christ. Rightfully so. Galatians 6 and 14 through 16. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul himself didn't want his name on the marquee. He wanted to be about Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth or uncircumcision, but a new creature, as many as walk according to this rule, peace on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. That's kind of like the 70 that are sent out. No names are given there. And they're sent out not to a nation, but through them as a nation. And the same message is given to us to go out through us. As a priesthood. That's what the Israel of God is all about. It's about us. And I want us to see more fully here the anybody and anybody emphasis here. Let's look quickly at verses 1 through 6 here. If any man be overtaken in a fault, there's no names here. This is about me, it's about you, it's about every single one of us. Okay, person A over here has problem, person over here, you who are spiritual, go restore that person in the spirit of meekness. Consider yourself, because you know, you're not great, so great either, lest you also be tempted. And then here's this whole command, nobody's name is listed here, but bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something, he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own worth, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches all good things. This is a no-name Israel of God. In verses 12 and 13, I don't think you should miss the link to circumcision. Paul is saying something here about names, but in particular, he says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but what's their motivation for circumcision? The desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. And yet the Bible is telling us to not glory in our flesh, not glory in our flashiness. There's a lot behind this reference to circumcision, but one of the things we don't want to miss about circumcision is circumcision was the ritual where and when a man was given his name. Circumcision was the ritual where and when a man was given his name. I mean, if you look it up, John the Baptist, Jesus himself, he came to have that rite performed upon him. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. John
circumcised.
His name shall be John. The making of a name for oneself was the animated motivation. We saw this some weeks ago at Babel in Genesis 11, in verse 4. Go to, let us build a city and a tower, the top whose shall reach to heaven, and let us make us a name. My point here this morning is not to not have a name. I have a name. Everybody here has a name. Anybody here doesn't have a name? The point is not to not have a name. The point is to boast in and glorify the name of another, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be content with that. Would you be content on the 1972 Miami Dolphins? And you're referred to as the no-name defense? To be content in boasting in and glorifying the name of another, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah said it this way in Jeremiah 9. He said, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories. If you're going to boast about something, boast in this, that he understands and he knows me. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in all these things I delight, says the Lord. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will punish all them that are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt, Judah, Edom, the children of Ammon, Moab, all that are in the uttermost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised. And guess what, Israel? You're uncircumcised in your heart. Glory in knowing him. St. Paul said it pretty much the same way. 1 Corinthians 1:29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, if you're going to glory, if you're going to boast, let your glory, let your boast be in the Lord. And so my charge for us today is to glory, it is to rejoice, and it is to be content in being a no name among the Israel of God. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, there are so many examples in your word of folks whose names we do not know. Not simply because we can't remember them, but because they're not reported for us. And yet, Father, we have this promise here where names, not only of the 70, Lord, but of the 70 times 7, of the 10,000 times 10,000, thousands and thousands of those who worship you, who obey you, who trust in you, whose names are written in heaven. Father, help us to be content and help us to be desirous more for that recognition and that status there and then than any sort of marquee today. Lord, we thank you for these stories about this little girl. Lord, we thank you for this story about these messengers. We thank you for this story here about these servants who did your bidding. Help us to do it. Help us to do it for you. Help us to do it for your church. Help us to do it for your kingdom.